This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
This is your host, Mal, on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9. Now, Stu was in the seat for me last week when I was in Tassie, but I was able to be on the phone to co-host with him. But he's jetted off to Europe for 6 weeks. So you've got me and an array of friends and guests during the next 6 weeks in the lead-up to the Olympics and afterwards. So normally we start with news of the week, but due to a scheduling change, we've actually got our guest in the studio first, and then we'll talk about news of the week in the second half of the show. So I've got with me in the studio Sebastian Delfino from the Melbourne Spikers. Good evening, Seb.
Hello, Malcolm. How are you?
Good. Actually, better turn your microphone on. Say that again.
Hello. How are you?
I am good. I am very good. Now, Seb, all our friends out there in the community, the Melbourne Spikers are Melbourne's oldest gay and lesbian sports club.
Yes.
And they are a volleyball club. Now, how old are you now?
So our volleyball club is 34 years old. So it was created the same year I was born. So.
Oh, I was going to say it's not quite as old as me. yeah, it's amazing. It's been going for a long time, and it's long and strong, and they are a pillar of our sporting community. Now, Seb, tell us a bit about the Spikers for all those people who haven't heard about them. Just tell me, so when do you train and what does training consist of and things like that? We'll start with the basics and then we'll move up to other things.
Right, so the Melbourne Spikers Volleyball Club is based in Collingwood. So we're training out of the Collingwood Secondary College on McCutcheon Way, not too far from anything actually. So it's quite central for us, which is great. We've been there for the entire time of Melbourne Spikers, which is also awesome, as we've been supported by not only the high school, but also the city of Yarra, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We train on Tuesday nights from 6:30 through to 8:30. Mm-hmm. And in the last 12 months, we've also increased our training times, and now we also train on Sundays from 2 till 4:30.
Because you have more people, or they wanted a variety?
So a couple of different reasons. Firstly, it was absolutely about the numbers. So we have we've increased our numbers quite substantially over the last 3 years, which is fantastic. It means that the sports popularity is growing not only within the GLBTIQ community, but also across the country, which is great. And then also to sort of change things up a little bit and try and meet the needs of all of our members as well.
Yeah, because you might get a different crowd at a Sunday training as to compared to a Tuesday training, depending on their own personal life schedules, right?
Yeah. So, again, a couple of different reasons. We get a lot of people that like to play different sports as well.
Yes.
So they might come and see us on a Tuesday and perhaps go and visit tennis or some of the other sports on other days.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. Some might come and see us on a Sunday, but then train with some of the other clubs as well during the week. So it just opens it up to more people and makes it more accessible.
Yep. And volleyball is a sport that anyone can play?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a common question that we get through our website, and absolutely. So we cater to all levels of volleyball, from people that have never touched a volleyball before to people that have played competitive and state level as well.
Mm.
So we try and level the courts out so that we've got enough people on each court, and of course so everybody's safe and is able to play at their level.
Yes.
And then we have some coaching as well that's available to them, and we tailor that coaching depending on the level.
And you don't have to be tall to play?
No. Well, if anyone's met me, you'll know that you don't have to be tall to play.
Mm-hmm.
There is a position for everyone.
That's right, because the thought is that basketballers and volleyballers are always tall, but not necessarily so.
Yeah, absolutely right. So like I said, there's a variety of different positions and that you can play in, and also it also depends on how high you jump. So we've played against some very very short teams in some international competitions that have been able to jump a metre and a half above the net. So
they're very very bouncy.
Very bouncy, yes.
Like yourself.
Oh, well, yeah. sort of.
Yeah. Now, how can listeners find the Melbourne Spikers? Where do they find them? Facebook or the web or what?
Yeah, so we've got a website that we've just redeveloped and mm-hmm. relaunched, so melbournespikers.org.au, mm-hmm. and then also through our Facebook channels as well. So mm-hmm. Plenty of ways to get in contact with us and come along and have a go.
Yes, I am on the Facebook page, so, you know, I get the updates. Being a man of having to know about a lot of sports, I'm always connected to all the sporting clubs on Facebook and online. I get your newsletter as well, actually.
We try and communicate as much as we can, mm-hmm. particularly with some of our events that are coming up. So mm-hmm. the social side of being part of the volleyball club is something that we're working on quite extensively. It's something that we're very proud of because we've done it very well over the last 34 years, and it's something that the committee and the group continues to do. And we have one of our biggest social events coming up, actually, in August.
Yes, we'll get to that shortly. But yes, sport in our community, mm-hmm. so being social as well as playing sport is important because you get to meet new friends partners, whatever.
Absolutely, Malcolm. I think with the sports within our community, it's almost a responsibility to make sure that it's a safe place and a welcoming place for anyone that wants to play them. Mm. And I guess even having joined Melbourne Spikers 7 or 8 years ago now, some of my closest friends come from the volleyball club.
Well, that's right. And you don't have to be gay or lesbian to play.
Absolutely not. We've got every letter, every group, anyone has come along to Melbourne Spikers. Because we have our traditional straight people that come along and play and are part of the club, and we again, it's about fostering that real welcoming place, and we've had a lot of different types of people come along, which is what makes the club fantastic to be part of.
Yes, and it has also a lot of diversity in races as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it doesn't matter what race you are, no one cares, as long as you can play or you want to play.
As long as you want to have fun.
You want to have fun. And what about the girls? Tell us about the girls.
Yeah, so I guess in a lot of the sporting clubs, attracting the girls to come along's been one of the more difficult tasks. Mm. And so any of the women that are out there, come along. We absolutely want you at Melbourne Spikers. Mm. We've probably had an increase of female numbers over the last couple of months, which is fantastic.
That's
to
really
see.
Good news. Yeah. That's good news.
And what we find is that in a lot of the competitions that people play in throughout the week, outside of the Melbourne Spikers training, they actually need a female to be able to enter into the competition. So,
because it's a mixed competition, and you've got to have at least one girl on the team.
One girl.
Yeah, and so the girls out there, you can play mixed, but you can also play girls.
Absolutely.
If you've got a team together, you can do that.
Absolutely.
And of course, on the reverse, there's, of course, men's only competition as well.
Yeah. So what you find is that volleyball is actually quite a very big social sport in Australia. Mm. So there's a lot of competitions that cater to all different needs. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more men's comps rather than the female comps that are specifically female. Mm. But if the numbers are out there, then I'm sure that there's been lots of people that would be wanting to create a competition for them.
Well, at the Olympics, which is coming up in 2 weeks, I'll be talking about that later in the show, but it's 2 weeks. Now, volleyball is an Olympic sport, and of course, there's also beach volleyball, which is apparently the sexier sport, and that's the one that people prefer to watch. But I love watching indoor volleyball. I've watched some great matches, but the beach volleyball is sexy, and that kind of gets people into playing indoor volleyball because it's the same sort of thing, just on sand. And, you know, the bikinis for the girls and the really big board shorts for the boys. I reckon they should wear Speedos myself. So that, being as part of the Olympics, will get a lot of people interested in volleyball. And that leads me to the next thing. What's the next sort of competition coming up for the Spikers?
Yeah, so we're gearing up for some local competitions coming up in the next few months. So we're heading over to Adelaide to play with the Adelaide Spikers.
Yes.
We're looking at sending 5 or 6 teams over there, which is the most teams we've in quite a while.
Oh, great.
So a lot of our newer members are starting to enjoy playing in some of the competitions, so it'd be great to have some of those newer members come along as well. And the team in Adelaide really do put on a good show and look after us.
Yes.
And then we're heading over to Sydney in October. Where we'll go and play with our friends from Sydney, which is also great. They have a fantastic venue up there. We play at Homebush when we play up there, so it's always great.
That's the Olympics. They played the Olympics.
Absolutely. So it's good to go along and have have a bit of a hit around at such a great venue.
Yes.
But then beyond that, we've got our own tournaments. And then further to that, we've also got obviously the games in Miami and then the games in Paris that we're gearing up for over the next couple of years.
Well, that's right. Paris is the Gay Games in 2018 and Miami is the Out Games in May, June 2017.
Correct.
Both of those games are now open for registration. Yep. And of course, Seb does wear another hat, which is Team Melbourne, which is the umbrella group that oversees all the Melbourne GLBTIQ alphabet sporting clubs. But we're not talking Team Melbourne tonight. That's for another night. So one other thing I was going to ask you about Spikers. Yes, I remember now. We're going back to one of your big events of the year is a fundraiser, which is your trivia night.
Yeah.
And that is, because the Olympics are on, it's an Olympic-themed one. Now, tell me when it is and what it involves, please.
Yeah, so the trivia night is, we sort of started it with an idea over a couple of wines at a friend's house to generate some funds for the club, but also have an event that was
fun.
Yeah, lots of fun and a lot of colour, a lot of movement, that sort of stuff. So we're in our fifth year now and we're at this year's theme is the Olympics. Yep. So basically the standard trivia night with the four rounds of trivia, a couple of bonus rounds thrown in there, and then of course there's the added element of the dress up side of it. So that's where our theming kicks in.
Yes.
So last year our theme generated quite a lot of interesting characters.
What was last year's again?
Last year's was superheroes, so it was heroes and villains.
I think I missed that one because I was overseas at the Eurogames.
Yes, you may have been away. Yeah. So, but it generated quite a lot of interesting cosplay.
Yes.
On the night, so we had our winners of the best dressed were dressed as minions. So a couple of members from our club
that were
fantastic. And there was a couple of tables dressed up as the Batman characters, which went to so much effort and
a lot of makeup,
a lot of effort. And one of our co-hosts was dressed as Maleficent, which is one of the best Maleficents I've ever seen in a long time.
I've seen Gregory Phillips from Glamour Headshots as a great Maleficent. Now, this year's theme is the Olympics, so there'll be a lot of wrestling outfits, a lot of onesies.
well, who knows, Malcolm? You know. I've seen some of the ideas that have been floated around the club, and some people are dressing as famous Olympians. Yes. Others are coming as supporters, so dressing in the colours of the particular country that they want to represent. So it should be interesting to see what people come up with. It always generates quite a lot of conversation on the night.
And when is it?
So it's on the 13th of August.
Which is a Saturday.
It's a Saturday night. It's at the Collingwood Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We kick off at about 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And there'll be drinks at the bar there as well hosted by Dean Arcuri, who is an upstanding member of the community.
Well known in the community. And how much is it?
So it's $25 per person.
And you pay on the door?
No, you can get your tickets at spikerstrivia2016.eventbrite.com.au.
Is there a link from your normal website?
There is. So there's a link from our website and also from our Facebook page as well.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, unfortunately, I'll be overseas, so I'm going to reveal what outfit I would have worn, because I've been before and I like the outfits. I would have been Mark Spitz, the American swimmer from 1972, but it means no one else can have that outfit. That is my outfit.
We'll make sure that no one gets let in who has it.
No, well, unfortunately, I planned my annual holiday just for 1 week, and it's a non-sporting holiday because my partner, David, it's his turn to have the holiday, and we're just going to Thailand for a rest. And I didn't know the Olympics were on when I booked the trip, so I'm going to be watching Thai coverage of the Olympics, which would be different than
the
Australian one.
I'm sure.
Oh, look, they might have some international TV, and so I probably won't really know what's going on. But it also means I'm going to miss your trivia night. So all the best with the trivia night and raising money for the club.
Thank you very
much. The future of the club, because as I said, it's one of Melbourne's leading clubs, and it's very important for us in the community to get out there, have fun, play some sport that we like and things like that. Any final words, Seb?
Yeah, I guess anyone who's interested in coming along to volleyball, either hit us up on our website or hit us up on our Facebook page. There's lots of information on there on how to get started, and also, you know, if you're interested in any aspect of the club, come and see us. We're happy to have everyone and anyone who wants to be part of us.
That's great. Thank you, Seb. We'll talk to you again in the future. This is That Sports Show on Joy 94.9, where it's now 14 minutes past 8, and I've been talking to Seb Delfino from the Melbourne Spikers Volleyball Club. You are with Mal on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Now, I'm going to be talking about the news of the week. Now, of course, it is only 16 days to go to Rio. And tonight I've got someone to talk to me about the news of the week, including the Olympics. And I've got one of our friends of Joy, Anna, on the phone. Are you there, Anna?
Good evening, Malcolm. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Anna. Thanks for joining me to talk about the upcoming Olympics. Now, firstly, Anna, Russia's participation in the Olympics is in the balance over doping allegations. What do you make of that, Anna?
Well, I believe I have read the actual report. It's quite long. It takes a lot of detail.
Yes.
And it's only thanks to a whistleblower.
Yes.
But the actual information's come to light. And the problem with that is that, of course, the political administration in Russia appears to believe that it's all a plot against them.
Yes, yes. They have funny views there in Russia. We support our fellow GLBTI athletes in Russia and also their clean athletes who want to compete in the Games. Now, we hope that they do get that chance because, unfortunately, the whole country is being classed as dopers, but there are people who are clean and we hope that they get to participate in the Rio Olympics. Now, if you've got any thoughts...
Well, only one Russian athlete has actually now been approved at this stage with 16 days to go.
Yes.
She's been approved to compete independently.
Yes.
But with the scale of the violations, I mean, state-sponsored mouse holes in labs that weren't really mouse holes, but they were passages for little clean samples to be pushed through and dirty samples to be pushed out and all that sort of really quite shocking information, but on a scale that possibly only East Germany could comprehend.
Yes.
I think they have to ban them, and not just the track and field athletes. I think they have to ban all Russian competitors because it appears that it has been over all sports, the vast majority of sports, they have said.
Yeah, systematic doping, they call it, Anna. Now, if Russia doesn't go to the Olympics, should Australia go?
As long as Australia's athletes are clean, yes.
Yeah, well, that's right. There's been just talk in the media that maybe we should boycott. Now, remember 1980 when we boycotted the Moscow Olympics because of Russia's invasion of Afghanistan? And then in 1984, as a retaliation, Russia and the Eastern Bloc boycotted the 1984 Games in Los Angeles. I don't think we should boycott. I think we should go along and do our best.
I agree with you, Malcolm, because the athletes from 1980 who didn't get to compete are still, understandably, quite bitter about that because it wasn't... Sport is supposed to be separate from politics, and that's the idea of the Olympics, that it transcends politics, and yet the Australian government forced them to not compete.
Well, Anna, it actually wasn't a blanket boycott in 1980.
No,
you got to choose whether you went or not. And some of the athletes that did go did really well. Remember Michelle Ford? She went, but Tracy Wickham didn't. And Tracy Wickham was the world record holder in the 800 metres freestyle. And she didn't go, but Michelle Ford, her Australian rival, did. And she did really well. So it wasn't a blanket boycott, but the option was there. Now...
some sports made it harder for people to refuse to boycott than others.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Now, Australia will be sending a full-strength team to the Olympics. Now,
in some sports, in some events, they've even got more people qualified than they can actually send.
Yes, yes.
I think the 5,000 metres and the 800 metres in the men's running.
Yes.
In the track and field events, they've got more qualified athletes than they can.
I know. And
allow to go.
That's right. But
it's wonderful because we've got all these people who are doing brilliant work. But it's terribly sad for them that they're qualified and they can't go.
Well, the thing is, you have to win in track and field. You have to win the selection trial to automatically get in. And, for example, Melissa Duncan won the 1,500 metres in the selection trial, but she's now injured and she has to prove her fitness. And so does sprinter Ella Nelson also have to prove her fitness. Now, Australian sprinter Josh Clark will race on the Gold Coast next week for the first time since he injured himself, setting the qualifying mark. So he qualified and then he got injured.
Or he qualified and injured himself while doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
But then Alana Boyd set a new Oceania record at the weekend with a height of 4.81 metres.
Mm.
But then when you consider that the world record held by Yelena Isinbayeva of Russia,
yes,
who is apparently clean, she's never failed a drug test in her life,
mm.
The record is well over 5 metres. Boyd may well only have 5 people ahead of her in the world this year, but that's...
But also, Annette, pole vault.
Many to get her on the podium.
That's right. But pole vault's so unpredictable. On the day, anyone could win with a lower height because there's nerves, because it's the Olympics, and there's wind, and there's also... Yeah, so, yes, anyone could win on the day. Now, world silver medalist Fabrice Lapierre, Australian, remains in good form, but... His field in his long jump event has opened up. The number one and two ranked US jumpers only finished fourth and sixth in their trials. And in the American trials, you know, you have to be the top two or three to make the team, and doesn't matter who you are. And that happened. And so they've got other people who have made their team. Just like in Sally Pearson's event, one of her main rivals didn't make the team because she didn't come in the top three of the American trials.
They're very strict in America.
Yeah.
They really, really, if they say you have to come in top three in trials, they stick to it.
Yeah.
And
I like that they do that.
If you come top three in trials and you haven't run a qualifying time, you still don't get to go.
Yeah. I like that they have their trials much closer to the games because you're in form. And same with their swimmers. Australia has theirs too early and then they go off to some training camp and they lose their form. So I do like...
But that's difficult because the season for Australian track and field athletes is 6 months before the games, especially when the games are being held as they are on the other side of the world, I'd say the other side of the Pacific and technically the Southern Hemisphere.
Yes.
But it's very difficult for Australians and New Zealanders and South Africans to peak at the right time if they're track and field athletes, unless they're competing in Europe.
Yes, that's right. Now, Anna, moving on to swimming, Australian swim star Cameron McAvoy is going to pull out of the 200 metres freestyle at Rio so he can focus on Australia's relay teams because of the scheduling, he's in the 50, the 100 and the 200, plus he's in relays.
I think the heat for the 200 is the same, or the final of the 200 is the same day as the heat for the 4x1 or the other way around.
Yeah, and so because he has such a big schedule, he's actually taking one for the team and letting someone else swim the 200 free, who's not that much slower than him, and then he's more concentrating on the relays because we have better chances in relays, and you have to swim your best team in the heat because in the past we've been guilty of putting not the best team in the heat and then they miss the final anyway. So you've got to put the best team in the heat and their best team in the final and go for those medals because they've got great chances in all of them in the medley relay, the 100 relay, the 200 relay, and Cameron McAvoy's got great chances in the individual 50 and the 100. So,
and yet he, although the 200 is his preferred event, that's the one he's dropping. And I say, I agree with you. He's taking one for the team. He's showing that he's a great team player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said swimming the 200 metres was not the worst, the risk in Rio, but it's definitely an event he wants to keep swimming. It's just, because of the scheduling, he's putting our medal haul, hopefully, first instead of his individual goals. So
we're going to look really stupid if we get disqualified in the heat, aren't we?
Yes, that's right. Or we don't make the final, which has happened before. Now,
or we get disqualified in the final for somebody jumping in the pool too early or something similar to that.
Yes, the girls learned from that one, Anna.
Now, hopefully the men learned from observation.
I wish we could have got Kitty Chiller on the show. She's Stuart and I's favourite person in pre-Olympics. Now,
she worked her butt off as a modern pentathlete when it wasn't really a big sport.
Yes.
It still isn't really a big sport.
Yeah.
Most people would not have heard of pentathlon. Mm. They may have heard of...
It's called the modern pentathlon.
They may have heard of Alex What's-His-Name, who was competing in the 80s and failed a caffeine test because he drank too much coffee to keep awake. And Kitty Chiller was probably past her best by the time the 2000 Olympics came along, when
yes.
she actually was able to compete in the Olympics because the sport had not actually been accepted into the Games until that time.
Mm.
She had been ranked number one in the world for 2 years running.
Yeah.
She was a great modern pentathlete, but unfortunately, possibly the Olympics came too late for her.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that Nick Kyrgios has any right to bag her out for finishing 14th.
Yes.
I mean, at least he got there.
Yes. Now, Anna, coming up to 8:30 is Chicks Talking Footy. So that I briefly will mention that we have a new world power couple in sport. Anna Ivanovic, former world number one tennis player, married German soccer captain Bastian Schweinsteiger. Yes. Now, also briefly in netball, the Queensland Firebirds beat the New South Wales Swifts, and they will be playing the Southern Steel in one Trans-Tasman semi-final, and the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic will be playing the New South Wales Swifts. Now,
we've got to win that game, because if they don't win, they're completely gone.
Yep.
Whereas the Firebirds have got the luxury of knowing that even if, by some strange quirk of fate, the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic, I do apologise to any New Zealand listeners.
Yep.
If they do beat them, then the Firebirds still have the second opportunity to go through to the grand final, whereas the Swifts do or die.
That's right, Anna. Now, Anna, thanks for joining me this week on That Sports Show, and I will talk to you...
Keep watching the Tour de France now.
Yes, we'll talk about that next week, Anna. Thank you very much for joining me. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
This has been That Sports Show. I've been Malcolm. I'll see you next week.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.